Your voice just went very weird and distorted.
Oh, I hope that was through the phone. It wasn't just my actual voice.
I don't think your actual voice sounds the way that it does right now, because if it did, you're a cyborg.
Oh.
It's intelligible, it's just weird sounding.
Okay.
And, like, I'm only hearing you through the phone line, so there's no reason why it would be affecting your recording, but...
No, that'd be even spookier. That would imply it was my actual voice.
Can you say, like, I must destroy all humans?
I must destroy all humans.
Cool.
Thanks.
No one else will ever hear how that sounded to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Hello and welcome to Horse and Aloud, arguably one of the best Australian BoJack Horseman podcasts. I'm Jem DeSalis.
And I'm Paige Winkle.
Today we watched Season 6, Episode 7.
Yeah, which is called The Face of Depression.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It's the penultimate episode of the first half of season 6.
Yeah.
When's the second half meant to come out? February, right?
So it comes out on the 31st of January.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so
I guess we'll just be
rolling straight
into it.
So it comes out on the, like, a week after we record episode 8. And it made me wonder, did they do that on purpose?
Did they do it on purpose for our podcast?
Not for us specifically, but it's just interesting timing that if you watch one episode every 2 weeks, you would then be watching the final episode and then you could watch the next one.
I can't imagine they're planning on people watching an episode every 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay, good point. That is crazy. I think it's Netflix.
It's much more likely that this is an amount of time that they decided was, like, the optimum amount to make people wait between two binges.
Ah, okay.
To really get them, like, super horny for it.
Yeah.
If you will.
They probably worked out it's, like, long enough that when they finish the binge, they would want to do it again before the next season came out, so they get double the views.
Yeah, that too, probably. Yeah, it's, like, just long enough that if you watched it all when it came out, then I think a lot of people are probably going to rewatch it again right before the second half comes out. You're right. That's, yeah.
Yeah. So, this one starts where last episode left off, so BoJack in the last episode was just, like, opening the door into his house, and we see his house is all, like, real messy. All his plants are dead and stuff, and there's stuff in the sinks. So he starts cleaning up his house and remembering all of the drug moments. And then this turns into him leaving the house and going for a drive, thinking about all the times he's hurt people. And then he arrives at an AA meeting for Alcoholics Anonymous.
Thanks.
Just in case.
I wonder if he'll, like, get a new house.
Yeah.
At some point as part of moving on.
Like a smaller place, because further in the episode he mentions that he doesn't like how big it is.
He probably won't be throwing as many parties now.
Yeah.
Straight edge parties. Let's all get high on life.
I told you, I'm on a system now. I'm not doing drugs.
I'm not this like you. I don't fetishize my own
sadness. No, my hands are so slippery.
So that's a nice little recap of all the, well, not all the terrible things he's done, but a lot of them. He drives past a sign that says that Filbert is cancelled forever. That's that done.
Yeah, which is interesting. It seems like at the end of last season, it was, like, pretty heavily implied that Filbert was getting renewed for another season and that he and Gina were going to have to work together.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was because he went to rehab or, like, I don't know.
Yeah. At the AA meeting, you know how there's that human guy with, like, the glasses and the patches on his clothes and stuff?
Yeah.
I thought that was Mark Maron, all the way until they said his name was Benny.
I don't really know who Mark Maron is. He's, like, a interview show host?
Yeah, he does What the Fuck with, or WTF with Mark Maron, which is a very popular comedy interview show. Apparently they get really deep into, like, stuff like depression and alcoholism. And he even interviewed Barack Obama when he was still the president. Somebody who's, like, recovered from an alcohol addiction, which is why I thought he was there, but no. No.
I wonder if that was a deliberate red herring, though.
I don't know. I thought there would be, like, one celebrity in the group that wasn't BoJack, but it doesn't seem to be. It's just people.
I wonder if he deliberately sought out one that didn't already have lots of celebrities in it.
Maybe that's it.
Because there must be like AA groups in Los Angeles specifically for famous to people to go to, right?
Yeah, like definitely. Or even like just AA groups that get good reputations for like, if you're famous, you can go to this one and they'll be cool about it.
AAA, Alcoholics Actually Anonymous. You all have to wear a V for Vendetta mask. I do like that he is like confronted by his old nemesis, Honeydew.
Yes. So good. And yeah, so then we get the intro, then it comes out of the intro and we're still at the AA meeting and he recognizes Sharona and her tattoos.
My Sharona?
That Sharona.
My Sharona? Is that funny? There's lots of flyers on a corkboard at the back. One of them just says, "Have you seen this flyer?" and has like numbers to rip off.
Yeah.
And there's one for goat yoga and one for cold yoga instead of hot yoga.
Ah, there's a yoga place that started in Ballarat that just does hot yoga. I'm like, fuck, just offer also normal temperature yoga. It's so
cool. Do they let you bring in your own little air conditioner? I don't think I'd like hot yoga.
No.
I feel like any kind of exercise I do in any temperature pretty realistically simulates me being very hot.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, oh, even sweatier? Love it. Mmm.
Yup. Oh, it's so
that's what I need. Also, I'm pretty sure hot yoga is, like, based on some pretty dumb theories about, like, sweating out toxins or some shit.
Yeah. It just seems dangerous and reckless.
Maybe it means you're less likely to strain your muscles if they're, like, literally warm.
Oh, yeah.
Cold yoga, though, sounds kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
Which is why it's not a real thing. Although cryotherapy is a thing, like just go sit in a freezer.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone like does intense stretching while they're doing that.
No. There's like football players and stuff, they do like ice baths and stuff after the game. It's meant to help with like
brain trauma.
How sad.
Yeah.
The other reason I hate this new place that's opened in Ballarat is because they've called it Hot Temple. And one of the most popular space, like places to go out and do social things is called Hop Temple. And they're too similar.
Oh my god.
It's just stupid. It's a bad business decision.
What are they That has to have been deliberate, right? Like, they have to be, like, trying to be like, see? It's like the other place everyone knows of.
Yeah. Where everybody goes to drink and eat pizza.
It's not like people are gonna, like, accidentally go do hot yoga when they meant to get pizza.
Yeah.
Like, it's just gonna make it annoying to make plans. Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, thank you. My parents were like, why are you so angry about this? And I'm like, just bad business.
Bad search engine optimization.
Yeah.
I'm sure lots of people have an intersection of friends who are like, yeah, let's meet up Saturday afternoon at the temple, and you genuinely won't be able to figure out from context whether they want to go get drunk and eat pizza or go do hot yoga.
Yeah.
We all know someone like that.
Yeah, we do. Anyway, that's my little grumble about hot yoga.
I'm on your side.
Thank you.
Tell your mum to have a word with me.
Yeah, so, yeah, he sees Sharona and he flashes back to when he fired her. And it's pretty brutal.
Yep.
Sarah Lynn got into the vodka.
Oh my god, is she okay?
Danny knows she got it from you.
It was yours!
Mine, yours, what difference does it make who brought this particular vodka? If I take the fall for this, this whole show's over. I have friends on Coach who owe me a favor. It could be a fresh start for you.
There's no such thing as a fresh start.
Nobody is asking you, Sharona.
Then back at the AA meeting, the host knows who he is.
BoJack Horseman, would you like to share? I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. This is anonymous. BoJack Horseman, who's that?
I'm BoJack, and oh god, this feels so dumb. And I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, BoJack.
Like, I know there's separate, like, Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous and Kush Anonymous. I feel like there should be, like, a cool, like, one that's just, like, non-specific multiple addictions.
Yeah.
Because he's not just an alcoholic.
Yeah, that's a good point.
My name's Bojack, and I've got a lot going on.
Also, sorry to jump backwards to yoga, but I think the joke with the goat yoga is that the person is doing mountain, and the goat is sitting on the person doing the mountain pose.
I get it.
So there's a cool-looking snake, and a cat, and a kangaroo, and then the rest are people. And then we go to Chicago. The, like, establishing shot is, like, a hammerhead shark, like, shoveling snow.
I don't think it's a hammerhead.
Okay.
It's got, like, a flat head. It's like a whale shark, maybe?
Yeah, I defer
to it. It was a shovelhead shark. That could be real.
Yeah, so Guy's leaving.
Look, I can't go to the Galapagos.
Guy, you have to. This is an important job.
It's the National Geographic Swimsuit Edition. They want me shooting behind-the-scenes video of turtles in bikinis.
But he doesn't want to leave Diane because she's recently got a diagnosis of depression.
I'd feel better if you just tried the medication your doctor prescribed.
They put me on Prozac in college, and I was so calm and boring, I didn't even want a live journal. And then Dawson's Creek got bad because there was no one to speak truth to power.
Dawson's Creek did not get bad. You just started taking antidepressants, which you should also do now.
It made me break out. I gained weight. What if you leave and come back to this person you don't even recognize?
I don't even recognize you now.
And Diane thinks this is the zone she has to be in to do her best writing. I don't know, it ends kind of well. She pushes him out the door and he comes back to say a proper goodbye. But as soon as he leaves, she looks sad.
They're in love.
Yeah, I like Gross. Them. I hope they make it.
I don't know. Guy doesn't really have a son. It's all a trick. I hope we meet Guy's son.
Yeah.
An ex-wife and stuff next season. People who I'm keen to actually see on screen. Guy's son, Todd's mum.
Charlotte, do you want her to come back?
Yeah, Charlotte. Yeah, we haven't seen Charlotte since the thing happened. We've seen Penny, but not Charlotte.
Mm.
We can talk more next episode about what our expectations are.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So, then we move on to the negotiations. The PC, Turtle Man, and Judah are discussing the strike.
How's this look?
Generous, but you're making up the projected loss by excising office birthday cakes. That's unacceptable.
I like cake. They can print those pictures on them now? What's the issue here?
Fine, but we're grouping birthdays so they only happen once a month.
We accept those terms.
Princess Carolyn's latte cup says Peaches Carpenter on it. One thing about Judah's character design that I think is a really nice touch is that, like, because he has his hair in a bun and you can see a little bit of the tie that he's tying it back with, and it's the exact same shade of greenish blue as his necktie is, which I think is a really nice detail. I think that it's really interesting that such a kind of, like, robotic character archetype as Judah is also characterized as being very fashionably dressed.
Okay.
Like, he wears a really nice suit and he has, like, hipster glasses and, like, a big beard and a man bun. Like, he's like a cool hipster assistant. But also, like, that's not the sort of thing you usually see in this kind of character.
Yeah.
Like, he's not boring looking.
Yeah.
Neat. Like, I think that's a good thing, because, like, I feel like the quote-unquote, like, robotic, detail-focused person in fiction is usually kind of autism-coded, and most people will know from real life that does not preclude you from wearing nice clothes and expressing yourself.
Yeah. No, I agree.
We're left with one final issue.
Your insistence assistants be not treated like garbage? From this day forth, all assistants will be treated like recycling, right next to the garbage, but with an understanding that one day they may be upcycled to a higher status.
So then Judah and Princess Carolyn are out on the street waiting for their various methods of transport.
Judah, I meant to reach out.
There's no need to explain. I know you're very busy with work and Ruthie.
This strike has been the most time I've been able to spend with Ruthie since... ever.
I also feel an ambivalence about the strike ending. The negotiations have been quite invigorating.
And now you're just gonna ride off into the sunset?
No, the sun sets in the west. I'm riding east to my Atwater cottage. Goodbye.
Judah!
Yes?
You're the best assistant I ever had!
You don't need ever in that sentence. It's implied.
It's sweet.
It's not even quite a, like, gag that we see a couple of times in this episode, but like the way Judah like changes between his suit and his cycling outfit.
Yeah.
Very efficiently is quite funny.
Yeah, it's good.
It also somewhat implies that he doesn't sweat. I'm imagining myself putting on a suit after having just ridden somewhere. Just being like, ugh.
Yeah.
I don't really get the impression that it's easy to ride your bike places in Los Angeles.
No.
I don't picture them having that infrastructure in place.
Yeah, and lots of pavements and, like, not bike paths like we have. But I don't know. I've never been there.
What?
I know.
And you think you're qualified to podcast about a program set in and satirizing a city that you've never even graced with your little feet? You charlatan! Yeah, me either.
Yeah, and when he's riding off, he mentions that he's riding off to his little cottage. I want to see his house real badly now.
Yeah, I would love to see where Judah lives. Like, because I was talking about how well coordinated his outfit was, but like, his cycling outfit is also very well coordinated.
Mm.
It's got like bits of green, and like the green of his shoes kind of matches the green of his helmet, but then like the orange stripes on his backpack and his shorts correspond to the orange of his bike's frame, and then he's also got like a kind of tealy color that evokes the colors that he usually wears in his suit. Like,
yeah,
he's quite aesthetically conscious. Also, I just noticed that Lanny's cup says leggy.
Oh.
I just got like a brief feeling of like vicarious terror because I was like, no, Judy, you're on the wrong side of the road. You're going to get hit by a car and die. It's the right side.
So then we go back to the AA meeting and it's just ending. And Bojack tries to talk to Sharona, but she pushes past him. And then we jump to the diner and Bojack's having lunch with Todd. And he says that he can't be at home because it reminds him how much he's in an asshole.
Makes sense. Your house reminds me of what an asshole you've been too.
What are you doing?
I'm updating my asexual dating profile with some fresh pics. There's still no one else on the app, but when they join, I want to be ready.
Just wanted to mention there's an ad for Birthday Dad.
Yeah, that's what the billboard is now.
Yeah. And Todd makes a comment that, like, tells us that he's been thinking about his mum a lot now that he's babysitting Ruthie. So hopefully we get closure on that.
It's weird to think that at one point someone held me in their hands and thought, I'm going to love this kid forever, you know? What happened?
What happened to what?
I don't know. Moms are weird, right?
Yeah.
Bojack mentions that a stewardess in his AA meeting was talking about waking up in different places and he would like to try doing that. So then we jump to the airport.
I was having a big think about this. Because, like, traveling around America must be kind of nuts. There are so many very different cities and climates.
Mm.
The transport infrastructure is kind of shit, but I'd get, you know, a Greyhound. And, like, flights between various cities must be fairly cheap. I feel like it would be really interesting to know that you could so easily just, like, go to another big city. Because Australia kind of sucks because everything is pretty far apart and every Australian city is basically the same except they're all either hotter than where I live now or they're the one I grew up in. And traveling in Europe is neat because it has good transport infrastructure, but you're going to like completely different countries usually. It would just be interesting to go around America and be in like such different places, but then everyone still speaks English and your money works.
I am so confused with the maps I've seen lately. Australia and America, are they roughly the same size?
Possibly, but like it's not really, doesn't really make sense as a comparison. Like Australia is so sparsely populated in comparison.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Like America has so many states and they all have capital cities. Like there's just, I'm just saying there's like a huge variation Whereas, like, in Australia, we've got, like, 7 capital cities. And, like, even then, Adelaide is apparently, like, a big small town. Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's kind of unique. Mm-hmm. Fancy that, America being unique. At the airport, we also see Mr. Peanut Butter and Joey Pogo are there. They're talking about their tour.
Before I depart with you on a cross-country tour of speaking engagements as the quote-unquote face of depression, I am not depressed.
Wait. How can you know that?
Well, I feel very happy.
According to the literature for this tour, people who seem happy can actually be the most depressed.
Oh no, I seem very happy. You seem happy too.
Oh no.
Good thing we're going on this tour.
We gotta get the word out.
Bojack goes to order a Cinnabunny, and there's a really sweet sales assistant who is a bunny, and she does this bit.
4 and 5, goodbye change. Good luck out there. I'll miss you.
What?
It's for the best. Go. Just go, please. Don't make it harder than it has to be.
Okay.
Oh, it's great.
But then, like, the little, like, once he, like, turns away and leaves, like, the way she, like smiles and snaps out of it.
Yeah.
She's doing a jerk just for her little self.
Yeah.
Gotta find a way to make it interesting.
Yeah.
Like how when I worked in retail, sometimes I used to pretend that I'd never seen cash before. You know, this is just a bit of paper. You trying to fuck me? Calling the cops on you. We accept only gold ingots. Why did I get fired from that job?
I don't know, Jim.
Do we ever get a name for her? I feel like we don't, but maybe when she shows up on the app.
Yeah.
Found the bit. Show me the screen, you cowards. Maud. Her name is Maud.
Oh, yeah, that's on her name tag as well. Now that you say that.
Oh, damn it. We're great detectives.
All right. So then we go to an ad for depression awareness. And there's this, is it a moth or a butterfly?
A butterfly.
A butterfly that's real depressed and is having trouble dancing. And Mr. Peanut Butter and Joey Pogo show up to give it a hug.
Beyond Blue's logo is a butterfly as well.
Oh, yeah. And it's a blue butterfly, isn't it? Like this one is.
No, it's a blue background and then a red and yellow butterfly. But the butterfly is kind of, it's actually two people facing each other. It's actually a really good logo. Wow. I never looked closely at it before, but it's probably like one of the cleverest logos I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I'm going to donate to Beyond Blue. It's interesting that we've got these kind of parallel plot lines in this episode of Mr. Peanut Butter and Joey Pogo trying to, like, advocate for treatment of depression when they don't know what the fuck they're doing, but then also, like, Diane really having depression.
Yeah.
Not being able to address it.
Kind of zooms out of the ad and Diane's watching the ad on her laptop, which must be weird. Like, she knows Mr. Peanut Butter. So then Bojack shows up and they go out to eat because the house is all messy.
Why didn't you tell me you were coming?
I didn't know. I was in LA and I didn't want to be, so...
I'm glad you're here.
You doing okay?
I'm doing great. I have this wonderful boyfriend. I got an advance on a book of personal essays.
But the headline is, you're doing great?
So great.
And he asked to stay and she says no really quickly. And then they end up like actually discussing what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually go back to her house and he sees how messy the place is.
My boyfriend's saying I should take antidepressants.
Are you going to?
What's the point?
I believe the point is to be antidepressed.
Sure. Or you just flip over the nothing and underneath there's more nothing.
You know, someone got really mad at me recently.
Mad at you?
I know, shocking. And he said, Bojack, you ruin everything. That's what you are.
Oof.
And it actually took him saying it out loud for me to realize how stupid that is. I bought into this idea that I was the thing that couldn't be changed. So the reason I came to Chicago is I wanted to thank you for believing in me when I didn't and for encouraging me to accept the help I needed.
Hmm.
This really resonated with me because, like, I am currently on antidepressants and they work really well for me. And I remember for, like, a couple of years having very severe depression that wasn't really getting much better with behavioral modifications and things and therapy. But I was extremely resistant to even trying out antidepressants, partly because I felt like it was in some way, like, admitting that I wasn't strong enough to just, like, get better by myself, but also partly because of the way Diane is talking. It's like, if you take medication and then there's just nothing underneath, like, what if depression is what makes you interesting and you have to choose between being boring and being depressed? And like I've been taking them for about a year now, and like, there are side effects. Like, I did gain weight and they've interfered with some other things, but like, ultimately they've made me way more functional as a person, and I'm really glad I eventually tried them. So I really appreciated Diane's journey in this, especially because, like, spoilers, but like, when we do actually see her at the end of the episode having taken antidepressants for a while, she has gained weight. She doesn't just not get those side effects. She like makes the choice that that's okay.
Yeah.
I feel like it did a good job of this.
Yeah, me too. The funny timing things happened this week where I started seeing a new psychologist and we had to talk about the medication I was on. So I mentioned that I'm on antidepressants and she was like, do they work for you? And I was like, they do. But before that, I was like, oh, I'd really like to come off them and get to the stage where I don't need them. But talking with the psychologist about it without her even saying anything, because it's like the first session, she's just firing off questions at me. We're not really digging into anything. But actually saying out loud to somebody that I take these antidepressants and they make me feel better. And yes, there are side effects, but if they make me feel better, less depressed, less self-harmy or violent, which is something that I struggle with, then the side effects are worth it. That's, I don't know.
I mean, you have glasses. I'm sure you'd rather not have to like deal with the physical reality of needing to clean them and be aware of them and take them on and off and shit like that. But like, that's better than not being able to see, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it really comes down to mental health is, and mental illness is stigmatized, where other things like, like having glasses and stuff aren't, yeah. And the stigma sucks.
Surprise, mental health is literally the foundation of all other health and everything else in your life. You do not have a brain, you are one. Take care of it.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before. Guys, go to therapy.
And if you're in a country where it's really expensive or difficult to get therapy or medication, try to find something else that makes the pain go away. Maybe become a serial killer.
Jim.
If that's what works for you.
Jim.
Not like a bad serial killer, like a Dexter serial killer.
Oh, okay, so you just kill the bad guys.
Or like a Hannibal serial killer. Kill people who are rude or who are gonna find out that you're eating people.
Like to say,
I just feel
sweets.
Like the sense of power that being a serial killer would give you would be a real self-esteem booster, you know? Start small, start with animals, but like,
Jim, I don't know how to join you in this riff. Oh, okay.
Anyway. Not like good animals.
You're a worry.
Disclaimer, everyone. Don't be a serial killer.
Okay, thank you. Makes me feel better. So back to Diane. So she's
working. Unless... No, sorry, you're gone.
Okay, so Diane is worried that she thinks the guy's got to know the real her, that he's going to leave and break up with her soon.
It's very BoJack-y. Like, remember when he was talking to Wanda and he was like, this is the same thing that always happens. You met me and you fell in love with me and then you got to know me.
Mm.
Like, I feel like this is a concern a lot of people have, because when you meet someone new, particularly a romantic interest, you're always putting forward like a slightly enhanced version of like your best qualities, and then as they like get to know you over time, you're worried that like, oh, they're gonna find out that weird thing I do in the shower, or they're gonna find out I'm a serial killer, and there's just gonna be too many things that build up and they're gonna realize I'm not worth it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to serial kill them and push them through the plug hole in the shower.
Oh, no.
Because that's how I get rid of the corpses.
That's the weird thing you do in the shower. Is there the whole time? Okay. I'm just going to push through. So
it was so expensive installing that massive garbage disposal style plug in the shower.
And then you had to kill the plumber that installed it.
Yeah.
Make sure it's working. So BoJack sleeps on the couch. And then he gets up and he tidies her house up a bit, and then he just leaves, which was real weird. But he goes to see Hollyhock.
Why is it weird?
He doesn't say goodbye. That's weird. I think that's weird.
He was probably asleep.
And he steals a scarf.
Yeah, that bothered me. Like, when he, like, cleaned up her house and left, I was like, that's fine, because there was that time I broke into my friend's house while she was interstate and did all her dishes as a prank. Oh. But, like, yeah, that's not your scarf, Bergerac. Buy your own scarf. You're a kabillionaire.
Yeah.
Keeps the scarf. I hope they bring that up. Like, I hope in the season finale, she's like, I can't believe you took my scarf. This is the worst thing you've ever done.
So Hollyhock had already had plans, and Bojack just kind of just showed up. So Bojack's going to go with Hollyhock and her friend. Is it Tawny? Like the frog? Tawny, maybe? I think
Tawny like the frog?
Isn't there like a Tawny?
Do you mean like a tawny frog mouth, which is a bird?
Ah, yes. That's what I've done.
I think it's Tawny. Like, I picture it as being like T-A-N-I. But let's just call her Frogmouth.
Okay, Frogmouth it is. So they're going to a show to cheer Frogmouth up because because they're like, she has to swap her degree because the drama teacher left. And Bojack's interested in the position. We find out that Hollyhock and her friend are kind of fighting, and yeah, it's a really interesting scene. I really liked it, because you get to see how Bojack thinks about these things.
Hollyhock, people will disappoint you.
You're always mad at me. There's nothing I can say.
Yes, some wounds will never be healed.
You could say sorry.
Would it even matter?
No, words are meaningless.
Yes, you do this thing where you don't think you can ever be forgiven, so you don't apologize, but I can't forgive you if you don't say you're sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thank you. That's all I wanted.
I'm sorry.
I love you.
I love you too.
That's it?
Oh, okay. Her name is Tawny, like a frog mouth.
Okay, not crazy. That's nice.
Spelled T-A-W-N-I-E.
Yeah.
Damn.
Damn what?
The guy that plays Guy is super hot.
Really?
Like the IMDb like main picture for Lakeith Stanfield has him like at some like awards show, I think, and he's like wearing this like cool red hat and it matches his shirt really well, and then a leather jacket, and he's got these cool glasses and he's giving a smoldering look.
He is.
Damn. I'd much rather fuck this dude than a bison.
He played Al in the American Death Note. I want to watch
I'd
that.
I'd completely tonight. Forgotten that the American Death Note exists. I gotta watch that. It's gotta be terrible, right?
I think so. And he's in Sorry to Bother You, which I think is meant to be good. And Knives Out, which I want to see.
It's a 2017 American neo-noir supernatural thriller film.
What is Death Note?
Yeah, that's what Wikipedia reckons it is. Well, at least it's a movie and not a series.
Where was I? Oh, yeah. So Bojack's really cold and he wants to go somewhere warm. And he narrows it down and has to go back to California. So we see the cute sales assistant again.
Maud.
Yes, Maud.
Why's she got an old lady name?
I don't know.
Are people called Maud again? Has Maud come back?
Who knows? But yeah, she's talking to her mum about building houses.
Maud Senior. It's her mum's name.
I'm telling you, people come to the airport just to eat these things. But if their houses were made of cinnamon and dough, they wouldn't have to go anywhere. They could eat and live happily in their Cinnabungalow. Well, I think it's a great idea, and this customer thinks so too, right, Lonely Horse Guy?
Sure.
He loves it. You better get in on this before there's a bidding war.
I know that this is, like, setting up how she and Todd would be a great match, but I honestly feel like as much as things didn't work out between him and Yolanda because she didn't, like, respect his madcap attitude to life, I feel like he does need to be with someone who will, like, slightly temper his bizarre schemes.
Yeah.
Like, what if they just feed off each other and just, like, get into shenanigans that ends them up in jail graves?
Yeah. What? Yeah, I don't know. I guess it would be more like a Mr. Peanut Butter Todd dynamic. And that wasn't too bad.
Yeah, that's true.
And also, Maud, she, like, has an idea, and she'll check it with somebody. She'll check it with her mum, who's not on board, who seems very sensible.
Hmm.
But maybe she wouldn't do that if she had Todd. Hmm.
Yeah.
See where you're coming from.
The ship name is Tord. Maud and Tord. Do you think that's why her name is Maud? Because in American accents, Maud and Tord rhyme? Tord and Maud.
Maybe.
Maud and Tord. Maud and Tord, they met on an app and they're in love. Maud and Tord. Hey, Maud. Yeah, Tord? Our children, Rod and Bud.
Maybe, Jeff.
Tord and Maud have a podcast.
You're going to make me cough again. So Princess Garolyn is telling Ruthie about Amelia Earhart, and she fudges the ending.
She made it to the sun, and everybody cheered. The end.
Continuing with the apparently canonical idea in this universe that her aim was to reach the sun.
Yes. Bojack shows up at Princess Garolyn's place with, I just put that picture at the house where it was horse staring into the pool where there's another horse.
Forget what this artist's name is. We talked about it a bunch before.
Yeah, I think we did.
He says that it's priceless, and that kind of implies that it was the original one.
Mm.
But then he also said he thought it was about himself.
Yeah.
So, like, in our world, I'm pretty sure that painting is, like, a self-portrait.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just kind of a joke about how, like, fans have been reading into the symbolism a bunch.
Ah, okay. Yeah, and he says that it's a present for the baby. Really, he just wanted to get rid of it. Bojack also came over to ask Princess Carolyn to give him a good reference for this job as the drama professor at Hollyhock School. Ruthie walks, and it makes Princess Carolyn cry because she's sad about all the stuff that she's going to miss. And Bojack says that she should make a change so that she can spend more time with Ruthie.
I just realized something.
Oh no. What?
So, like, I'm pretty sure that the reason why Bojack is now a professor who's going to be, like, teaching teenagers and young adults about stuff is because, like, I cannot think of a job you're more likely to lose when it comes out that you, like, you know, had sex with an underage girl or whatever the version of the story that hits the presses is going to be than drama teacher at a college.
Yeah.
It's like, if a scandal happens and he's just, like, a washed-up actor, as we've seen many times before, it's very unlikely that he will face consequences. But if he's, like, teaching at a university, it's very likely that he's going to lose his job, and that's going to be one of the plot points.
Yeah, and he's going to really like his job. Guess we can discuss that more next episode.
Yeah.
Things get set up, but that's bummed me out, because it makes so much sense. Yeah, so Bojack goes back to his house, and he's kind of in his study, which is missing the painting now, and he's talking to somebody at the college about the job, and apparently Raven Simone is also in the running for the job, and I just have a note that says, is she a raven? Maybe.
From the jerks, I imagine yes.
She's circling around portending my doom? She's gonna swoop in and peck out my chances?
Yes. So then Bojack goes back to AA, and he's sad about how big his house is and that it hasn't changed.
It's huge and perfect, but it feels like the worst place on earth. My house reminds me of the horse I was before. I don't want to be him again, but it's the same house, the same city, just nothing's changed. So how am I supposed to?
That kind of connects with Sharona, and after the meeting, she comes over and talks to him.
Sharona,
we don't need to do whatever your sad eyes are asking for. The last time I saw you was my rock bottom. I've been sober ever since, so it all worked out, okay?
Please, just let me say it. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
So they kind of make up, and she goes over to his place to give him a haircut, like, for old time's sake.
What color is this? Sharpie?
Okay, I dye my hair. Nobody makes fun of Dennis Rodman.
They don't? What do you think?
I look old.
I don't really believe this. It's fine as a retcon, but I don't think that he's been canonically dyeing his hair this long, because there are lots of situations, like particularly when he was in Michigan, like, why aren't we seeing a regrowth?
Yeah, good point.
If he's just been, like, slobbing around for months. And also, like, does she, like, strip the dye out of his hair so that it looks gray again? Can you do that without, like, bleaching it? Because he also doesn't have visible gray regrowth when she cuts his hair, but then she cuts his hair and he has, like, hair that's only about half as long as it was before, but it's, like, all gray, so.
Yeah, I can see why they did it.
I like it as a stylistic choice, but I don't think that it was, like, I don't think it was something they had in mind for very long.
Yeah, this episode, they kind of want to change what he looks like and what he wears drastically, so they kind of had to fudge some stuff. While that's happening, he gets a call from the college.
Spring semester starts next week. Can you be here?
Bojack goes back to the airport because he's moving. And the cute sales assistant is there, and she's, like, breaking up with her boyfriend.
I thought you liked me.
I do, but I was very clear there are certain things that I'm not interested in.
And you're sure it's not a Jesus thing?
Fine, if it helps end this conversation, yes, it's a Jesus thing.
Hey, I admire your devotion.
I don't want to presume anything, but there's an app you might be interested in.
An app?
So then we see Bojack on the plane, and he gets stuck in DC. Because of all the ice. So yeah, when he gets off the plane, he goes to a shop and he gets a new outfit and he looks very handsome.
Yeah, it's interesting that he goes for a jacket that is less academic looking than his regular jacket. Like, I guess they were kind of stuck. Like, they wanted to do the whole, like, this episode's all about jacket symbolism of different jackets. But he already wears the jacket that a stereotypical college professor would wear.
Yeah.
So instead he gets, like, a bomber jacket, which is probably the first jacket he's worn in decades that's not, like, a sports coat or a blazer.
Mm-hmm.
Does look damn sharp in it.
He does.
Probably more comfortable, too. Also, he's still wearing the scarf. Give the scarf back, Bojack.
Send it back to Chicago. And then he goes, like, he's taking a picture on Instagram of him at the Capitol, the White House. I don't know what building that is. And Mr. Peanut Butter's behind him. And, oh, it must be the Congress building because Mr. Peanut Butter is there to address Congress. So they go to a museum. I don't know if it's a named one. But, yeah, his sweater is in the museum from horsing around. And the full set. Oh, it's the Smithsonian. And there's, like, Urkel, and I think there's Eddie the dog from Frasier. All very good jokes. So, yeah, the joke, I guess, is that his sweater's there, but Mr. Peanut Butter's show is so important that the entire kitchen set is there.
I hadn't thought about that. That's just, like, the whole thing there.
Yeah, so Bojack's really sweet and does a crossover episode where he pretends to be his character.
Excuse me, are you Zachary's father? I think our adopted teens go to school together.
Yeah. They're... It's a crossover!
They sure have been spending a lot of time together, huh?
I hope they're not having S-E... Excuse me! It's just... I'm so overwhelmed!
And then, yeah, people see him crying and they're like, you know, he's the ambassador for depression. Then we see Bojack getting ready for his, like, flight, and he's talking to somebody, and I just wanted to mention, it's a joke, but it got me so deep down, that phone call where she's like, and would you like to take a survey that directly impacts whether I get to keep my job or not?
Yeah.
Oh. Princess Carolyn's office is where we go next, and she's called in Judah to talk about a job.
Would you be interested in interviewing for a job here as Vim's chief of operations? You'd be a partner with a stake in the company and a birthday cake just for you.
I would be interested in that interview.
Do you want the job?
Yes.
Great, interview done. Your first task is to clear my schedule every third Friday. I'm taking them off to be with my daughter, and there's a weird burnt smell coming from the copy room.
I'm familiar with that smell. I'll investigate right away.
Thanks, Judah.
My pleasure.
And we get to see his cycling outfit again, which is nice. And as you mentioned earlier, like, the camera, like, goes to Princess Carol, and then when it goes back to Judah, he's already, like, in his suit doing up his tie. It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
At Princess Carolyn's house, we see Todd. He's, like, doing his babysitting thing, and he's got his phone out, and he's about to call his mum. But then he gets a notification that somebody has joined the app, and it's Maud. And I thought that was really interesting.
Maud and Todd!
Yeah. But, like, does that mean he's not going to call his mom? What was he looking for? To somebody to talk to?
I think he's just been, like, thinking about maybe calling his mom for a long time now.
Okay.
And he just got distracted. Like, I don't think this means that we're not going to get closure because Maud can be his new mom.
Okay. Good. That was what I was worried about.
Go back to it.
I don't want Todd just to get a woman in his life and then be like, well, don't need to look into the mum stuff.
Bad relationship with your mother? Get a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Solved.
Cool. Then we see Mr. Peanut Butter and Pickles. Peanut Butter's in a hotel and Pickles is at the house. And she's real sad.
I've slept with 32 guys now, and the truth is, none of them are like my mister. I just wish I could cheat on you with you.
And then the door to the closet opens and Joey Pogo's in there, like, he's managed to hang himself up. Mr. Peanut Butter has an idea, which is probably that she should sleep with Joey Pogo because they're very similar people. Yeah, so then next we see Diane pick Sky up at the airport. And as you said, we see that she's got a bit of extra weight.
And a completely new jacket.
Oh, does she? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, it's like a red leather jacket, like red and blue. I don't know what the style is, but it's like that one kind of motorbike jacket. It's like that kind of motorbike jacket that doesn't have lapels and is kind of ridged. And it has... It still has those pockets with the arrows, like the sort of Western shirt style pockets. And I think that this is very interesting because, like, given all of the stuff we've had with Diane's jackets and, like, the Chicago coat versus her regular jacket, like, the fact that this is a completely different jacket that has, like, just that little superficial echo of her other jackets, I feel like is meant to be pretty meaningful, is, like, her allowing herself to change and let go of parts of herself that are holding her back.
Yeah, and her hair's grown out.
Yeah, so I guess we'll never know if she had an undercut or not.
I had not noticed her jacket. I like it.
And she has a sign that says Dawson's Creek was always bad.
So then we go to Old Town Horseback, which Bojack's visiting, and it's like this, I don't know what the word is, like...
It's like a historical reenactment town.
Thank you.
Like, I thought it was meant to be like an Amish thing for a while, but they are acting.
Yeah.
Are we doomed to die in the shadow of our sins?
Nay!
It is only when we show ourselves forgiveness and mercy that we truly live a life of grace, that we are reborn. Turn to the horse next to you and offer a sign of grace and peace in the name of the Lord.
Peace be with you.
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 It's very evocative of, like, those old, like, Quaker services.
The symbolism here is that he's going to a town that is all horses when, you know, he's meant, like, as they talked about last episode, he doesn't have any horse friends other than Hollyhock.
The bit where the Reverend comes past and says, like, oh, it looks like this was really touching for you.
Stay, if you like. In 30 minutes, we start over.
Did that strike you as kind of sad?
Yeah, that I put that note in as well because it kind of, like, I don't know if it's too much of a spoiler, but it feels like we've come so far this episode, and in the next 30 minutes of the next episode you're going to watch, we're going to go back to before when all the bad stuff was, like, going on.
The whole it all begins again
kind
of thing. Like, I feel like at its core this show is about whether change is possible or if people are doomed to repeat the same cycles. So, who's gonna win?
Yeah.
The song that's playing over all of this and then through the credits is Take Me Down Easy by James Henry Jr.
Yeah, I really like this song. I actually looked it up on Spotify. Yeah.
Take me down easy. Take me down easy. Let me land softly.
I feel like tonally we're used to the second last episode of a season being like the most fucked up one, and then the one after that is kind of hopeful. But tonally this felt a lot like the final episode of a season.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it's like we shouldn't expect it to go with the same, like, emotional structure given that it's a single season being released in two halves, but it's an interesting feeling.
It is, yeah. I was having a look at, I don't know, I think I was looking for trivia on IMDb and I saw a comment and somebody was saying that they wanted this to be the last episode. They were advising people to just stop watching it here and then watch the next episode with the next season. And I was like, I get where you're coming from, but they did this for a reason. They wanted us to take this emotional journey in the way that we have.
Yeah. Who the fuck, when a Netflix binge comes out, is, like, Googling around being like, what's the ideal watch order for this? I think everyone just kind of jumps in.
Yeah, and also it's BoJack Horseman. Like, things are never really, truly okay.
We've got an email from regular correspondent Matt. the one who left the review talking about how they, like, listen with their dog.
Oh, yeah.
And we were, like, confused about some lexical ambiguity. And so they, like, emailed us to clarify and then emailed again. Oh, yeah, Matt's the one who sent us the story about the person's roommate who used to sit on the couch with socks on both hands so that he could eat Cheetos without the orange color permanently dying. Anyway, New email from Matt. Hi, Gem and Paige. I love the show, so I wrote Horse and Aloud on a frisbee and got my dog to catch it. Here's the video.
Yeah.
And there is a link to a YouTube video of that happening, which I will put in the show notes. It's currently sitting at 9 views, so let's see if we can't bump that up.
Nice! I just watched it. It's so awesome.
Yeah, I like that. No comments. I'm gonna add a comment. Nice. I am a civilian uninvolved with the show and also recommend.
She's made my day. I'm going to show this to everybody. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. That's awesome and very funny. Although if people are going to start doing the things that I've recommended people do to get to spread the show further, I do need to point out that some of them are inadvisable or even illegal. Please don't put it on a CD and grind it up and mix it with your city's water supply or whatever I said. That's terrorism. Also, you talked about the Chicago human babies mascot, but I don't think you mentioned that the real Chicago baseball team is the Cubs. I just wanted to point this out because I think it makes the mascot even funnier. You are correct.
Yes.
Stay safe and don't catch fire. We will try.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
Yeah. Everyone watch the video of Daisy catching a frisbee with Horse and Aloud written on it.
Yeah.
Next episode, we better check back to this video, and it better have at least 100 views or we're cancelling the podcast. Ooh, I'm gonna check our spam folder. Ooh, flight deals. What?
From Melbourne Airport.
Why is Melbourne Airport sending emails to this account?
Don't know.
You are subscribed to this newsletter as horseandaloud@gmail.com. When would either of us ever have used the Horse and Aloud email account for something that the airport would have found out about?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for getting in touch, Melbourne Airport.
He wants goodbye. Us to go on a one-way trip to Athens. Sounds like a threat.
Maybe it's a clue. Is there something in Athens? Well, shall we murder a horse?
Yeah.
You can email us at horseandaloud@gmail.com. HORSANALOUD. Matt has really raised the bar, but if you want to send us an email that doesn't have a video attached, that's also still fine.
Or you can tweet at us at horseandaloudpod.
And you can also find us on Tumblr or Facebook. If you like the show, please rate or review it on iTunes, or just go to Horse and Aloud Fans Anonymous and reconnect with an old colleague who gives you a good haircut. Came up with that one on the fly.
Nice.
I've still got it.
I really thought it would be something to do with serial killers, so...
What?
Nothing.
What did you say? I'll find out, Paige. I edit the show.
Just that you would say something to do with serial killers.
Oh, yeah. I'm Jem DeSalis.
And I'm Paige Winkle.
And until next time, suck a dick,
dumb shits.